If you have a Bible, you can open to Leviticus 24. We'll look at just the first part of that chapter this morning, verses 1 through 4. They're printed on the next page of the bulletin for you. Or if you'd like to follow along in a real physical Bible, there are some on the table in the back of the sanctuary there. The passage that we're looking at this morning has to do with the light in the tabernacle. The tabernacle is that tent. It's a place called the Tent of Meeting, where the one true God lived among his people, Israel. The light came from lamps, oil lamps, that were on a golden lampstand, which was really one of only a few pieces of furniture, but very significant furniture in this tabernacle, in the Lord's house. This lampstand with its lamps and the light coming from it. Each item in the house was full of meaning, meaning for teaching people about God, teaching them about having a relationship with God on his terms, according to his word and by his grace. And so so this morning, we're going to consider the meaning of the light on the lampstand in God's house. That's what we'll talk about this morning. Let me pray first, then we'll read the scripture. Father, help us not just to hear and understand your word, but to believe it and to abide in it for our life with you now and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall arrange it from evening to morning before Yahweh regularly. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall arrange the lamps on the lampstand of pure gold before Yahweh regularly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it's difficult to think of anything in all creation that is more important than light, more essential to all creation than light. And we find light throughout the scriptures to be a very important theme from the very beginning to the very end of the Bible. So light is the first thing God created. And light is the first thing that he judged. It says in just the first few verses of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. So that's his judgment of it. He created it by his word, and he judged it to be good. So light is, here it's in the scriptures, it's the first essential building block of creation. It's without light, there is no life. And we know that on just a physical, material level in the universe. Without light, there's no life. One of the most important things about light is that it reveals things for our knowledge. In the Bible, that's one of the most important features. That's what makes light essential, is that it reveals things so that we can know things for our knowledge, right? So it's good that light does this. God has seen what light does, and he's approved it. It's good that light reveals things for our knowledge. By light, we see, we discover, we recognize, we navigate, and by light, we judge the world around us, right? So light exposes the reality of things that lurk in the dark, and light reflects the beauty of good things for our delight. So by light, we know. And it's good that light makes things known. And in the Bible, ultimately, knowing God is life. That's knowing God is eternal life. That's what Jesus says in John 17. This is the high priestly prayer. Jesus living and serving as our high priest. In his prayer in John 17 says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Right? So knowing God personally, knowing God relationally, knowing God is life. And in the Bible, light is for that purpose. Light is for that knowledge. It's for knowing God. It's for personally knowing Jesus. So this is why light is so good. This is why light is so necessary for life. According to the scriptures, this is why light is essential to us. Light makes it possible to know God, which is eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4, God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right, so on a physical level, material level, in this universe, in order to survive in this physical world, we need light to reveal things to us and to make things known so we can know the world around us and live. And this light, this physical light, is given to us in creation as a picture, as a sign, as a symbol. I'm not sure what other kind of language to use about it, but that's what it is. It's the physical light is given to us as a symbol of spiritual light. The spiritual light that we need, the revelation that we need in order to know God for life, for our eternal life, for our relational life with Him. So this is what the light of the lamps on the lampstand in the tabernacle represents. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. You walk into the tabernacle or you see it from outside and it's got this lampstand and it's got these lamps on it. The lamps are burning and the light is lighting the inside of the place. And what it means is it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's what it symbolizes. That's what it's for. In the tabernacle, everything has meaning. Everything. The layout of the place, the materials that it's all constructed out of and made out of, the craftsmanship and the details and the design and the artwork, everything in there, the procedures that you go through as you're part of this tabernacle worship process, every single part of it, and anything you can imagine in there has meaning. It has significance. Everything reveals God for our knowing Him, for our life with Him, for our relationship with Him. The light in verse 2 is to be kept burning regularly, and it's made explicit. So explicitly and especially, this light is to be kept burning regularly from evening to morning. From evening to morning. When do you need light? When it's dark. You need light when it's dark. You need light anytime there is no light. You need it. If you're not blind or sleeping or dead, if you're going to live and be awake and see what is real and know what is real, then you need light. Especially in a time when there is no light. You need light. Having light during the night, as is pictured here in the tabernacle, having light during the night, it's an excellent picture of the revelation of the knowledge of God. God's revelation, what He's made known about Himself, what He's made known about who we are and what's the purpose of life and how to have a relationship with Him and what eternal life means and what that does in us. Having a light during the night is an excellent picture of that revelation. The revelation of the knowledge of God coming to those who are in the dark about God. Coming to those who are, as the scriptures say, ignorant, without knowledge. Right? That's what that word means, ignorant. Without knowledge of God. So there's something deeply comforting about light shining in the darkness. You all know this. There's something welcoming about a home that is well lit during the dark hours of the night. The tabernacle in Israel was God's dwelling. It's God's home in the midst of His people. It's the place where His people could come to know Him and to relate to Him as He truly is. To know Him personally, relationally, which is eternal life. So in His home was this beautiful lampstand. It's beautiful. It's made of pure hammered gold, probably 5 or 6 feet tall. Not exactly sure, but it weighed something like 75 pounds of gold. Finely hammered with these branches like a flowering almond tree. So you've seen pictures of, I think it's called a menorah, right? It's like 1, 2, 3 sets of branches and then one in the middle, giving you places for 7 lamps. 7 lamps at the top of, so 7, I mean, that's a good number, right? The completion, the perfection, the delighted fulfillment of light. The light of these lamps on this lampstand was to be kept burning throughout the night, because light is good, because the light of God's revelation is good, and it's necessary for our relationship, for our life with Him. God is the one who makes Himself known to us for our relationship with Him, and God is the one who commands that the light of the revelation, of the knowledge of Him, would keep going forth into the darkness, always. Always burning this light, always shining this light. The Apostle John sees the spiritual symbolism of light, and he sees it in his gospel, pointing to Jesus, ultimately. Right? So in the beginning of his gospel, John says that the true light, which gives light to everyone. What does that mean? The one who makes God known, the one who reveals God. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus is Himself that light. He is that light. He doesn't just give that light. He is the light of God that shines in the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of the world that does not know God. Jesus is the perfect revelation of God. He is Himself the light because He Himself is God. He's God come in the flesh. He's God making Himself known for the sake of our relationship with Him, which is eternal life. Jesus makes God known by who He is, just by being the incarnate God, the incarnate Son of God, God in the flesh, the one who is God, who relates to God, and who reveals God, and does all this as one of us. Right? So Jesus reveals the God who would be with us, who would not be without us. He reveals the God who is with us, the God who is united to us now and forever. Jesus reveals the God who serves, surprisingly, serves and saves in His forgiving sacrificial love. Jesus reveals the God who will never leave us or forsake us, who promises that we will join Him in resurrection glory in eternity. So now, because of Jesus, you have light. You know God. You have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now you know who God is. Now you know what God is like. Now you know what it means to live with God like God Himself lives with God if he were one of us, because He's done it. So you have that light. Now you know what it means to relate to the Father as the beloved Son relates to the Father, because Jesus is that. And He's made that known. Jesus is the light of life. Now, there are many facets of the tabernacle, including, again, all the furniture, all the elements, the people, the comings and goings of the people, the whole system of the tabernacle, all these facets of the tabernacle that reveal Jesus. They all point to Him. They reveal Jesus. They reveal aspects of who He is, aspects of His character or His work, what He's done for us in the gospel. In a sense, Jesus is the fulfillment of the tabernacle as a whole. He's the tabernacle. And Jesus is the substitutionary sacrifice that's offered there on the altar and brought in. The blood is brought in for the sprinkling and the cleansing and the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus is the bread on the table, one of the other rare items of furniture that's in the tabernacle. He's the bread on the table. Jesus is the light of the tabernacle. Jesus is the great high priest who keeps the light burning in the dark hours. Check this out. The writer of the New Testament, the New Testament letter to the Hebrews, said that the tabernacle was a copy. It's a shadow. It's patterned after the heavenly things that is revealed by God to Moses. Moses had a vision of heaven, and God told him, hey, build the tabernacle according to this vision. What you see here in the realest of real things in my presence, build that. Put it into the tabernacle. Design the tabernacle this way and that way and have all these elements reflect what you've seen in this vision of heaven, right? So that's what Moses understood. That's what God's people have always understood, that the tabernacle and everything in it always pointed to these heavenly realities, ultimately to Jesus. So this is why we're talking about this, you know, reading this stuff here is about light in the tabernacle and lampstands and so forth, and we're talking about Jesus. But the Apostle John, who said, Jesus is the light, he was also given a vision of the heavenly realities, the same kind of vision that Moses had. That the tabernacle was meant to reveal. He's given this vision, this picture, right? So consider our New Testament reading from Revelation 1 that Lydia read, the revelation of Jesus to John of the true things, the realest of real things going on in heaven. John is given a vision of Jesus in the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly dwelling place of God with his people. Jesus was in the midst of seven lampstands, the great high priest walking among the lampstands in the heavenly tabernacle. And the high priest revealed to John the mystery of the lampstands, that the lampstands are the churches. The lampstands are the churches. And then he talks about tending those lampstands, those churches, over the next few chapters of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Jesus is addressing the churches and saying, do this or do that. Don't do this, and I'll remove your lampstand. Seven churches to represent the fullness of God's people. The high priest is the one who keeps the light shining from those lampstands. We're the lampstands that our high priest is tending. We're the lampstands that Jesus is tending. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God, shines forth from us. Jesus keeps that light, the light of the knowledge of God. Jesus keeps that light shining forth into the darkness by tending his people like the high priest tends the lamps on the lampstands. In Leviticus 24, our participation is there. It's there. The participation of all the people of God is there. It's referenced. In keeping the light always burning, it's seen as God commands the people to provide the oil, the pure oil from beaten olives, right? Olive oil, pure olive oil. Bring that oil for the lamps to keep the lights on always. So the people of God together, the people of God together, not just individually, all of us corporately, shine the light of God's house in the darkness. That's a community effort, so to speak. It's an important aspect of our life together as God's people. It is happening as we live together as God's people. In the book of Revelation, we're lampstands bearing the light of the gospel, and we shine this light through our testimony. That's a big aspect of the book of Revelation. Revelation. Testimony. Bearing witness. Right? So in Revelation 11, all this symbolic imagery, all of it's brought together explicitly because it's the witnesses who are the olive trees and the lampstands. That's what it said. They're all brought together. The witnesses, those who are bearing testimony, those who are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're the olive trees. They're the lampstands. So the purpose of the light in the tabernacle is to reveal the knowledge of God for relationship with him, for life with him. That light is the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news about him, about his life with God that's been shared with us to be our life with God. His relationship with God shared with us to be our relationship with God. That light is kept burning by the great high priest himself. The responsibility isn't ultimately on our shoulders. It's on his. He's the great high priest who tends the lamps and the lampstands and the light. It's the great high priest who does this, who keeps shining forth into the darkness. So it's Jesus who keeps us bearing faithful witness to Jesus. It's Jesus who keeps us. By his grace, by his mercy, it is Jesus who keeps us bearing faithful witness to him. It's Jesus who keeps us in his love so that we know his love, so that we can proclaim his love, so that we give light to those who are in the dark about God, for the sake of others coming to know God truly, personally, having the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. If we ourselves are in the dark about Jesus, then you can't shine the light of this knowledge of Jesus. You've got to know Jesus to talk about Jesus. But if we know Jesus, then we can make him known to others. If we know him personally, if we know him relationally, we can make him known to others. It's the great high priest who keeps this light shining forth from his people. It is Jesus who reveals himself to us by his word and by the work of his spirit in us so that we would know him, so we'd pay attention to him and know him and believe him and trust him and proclaim him, celebrate him, praise him, proclaim him, so that others might know and believe and trust him. That is to say, it's through Jesus relating to you, through the great high priest tending the lampstands and the lamps and the light, through Jesus relating to you, that you would shine the light for others to come to know God. It is Jesus who does what he does in your life and in our life as a church, who graciously makes known to us how sinners can know God personally. How sinners can know God personally and relationally through faith in him. So Jesus himself said in Matthew's gospel, "You're the light of the world." He's not saying, "I'm not the light of the world." He's saying, no, in this part of the analogy, you're the light of the world. Right? You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So why do we call God our Father in heaven? Jesus calls him our Father in heaven, right? Jesus has made his God and Father known to us. He's made God known to be his Father in all the glory of that relationship. And Jesus has said, my Father's your Father. So he's ours. Right? He's shared his own relationship to God with us. He's graciously shared with us his own relationship to God. And the purpose of our shining like lights in the darkness, our giving testimony to this gospel, is for the sake of others coming to know his God and ours, his Father and ours. Right? The purpose of this light shining to us and then through us is that people might see and know this God and respond to him with faith and thanksgiving and joy and love and praise to give God glory because they know him to be our Father, our gracious Father in heaven. So we let our light shine before others, as Jesus said. We do that in a couple ways, directly and explicitly for one, probably most obvious, most important. We use words to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without these words, without this proclamation, nobody's going to know the gospel. You can't have this relationship with God unless he's made himself known explicitly through the words of the gospel. And so we bear faithful witness. We testify to the revelation of God in Jesus as we tell people what the scriptures say about who God is, about what he's like, about what it's like to have a relationship with what he's done for us in his grace. And we also let our light shine before others, more indirectly, by our good works, right? By the ways that our lives are changed because of our relationship with Jesus, and especially by our love, as it reflects the light of God's love. So this is printed here at the bottom of the page, sort of fine print. You can follow along if you want to. I'll read from 1 John 1. Says, this is the message we've heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then in chapter 2, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is actually still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So to live in the light of the revelation of God and to walk in the light of his reality, to reflect the light of the truth of the triune God of love that's been revealed to us in the scriptures, that means to love as he loves. He's God of love. We're going to be with him. We're going to be like him. We're going to walk in his light as he's in the light. God of love. Okay, then we love. That's what we do, right? This is how we are changed by a relationship where we really know him because he's made himself known. So that means a love that humbly looks to the interests of others and not just constantly obsessed with our own interests. A love that serves and sacrifices for the good of the other. A gracious, merciful, generous, forgiving love. Even love for one's enemies. Jesus, the light of the world, has revealed God to be a God who loves like this. This is what God's love is like. And the one who knows God in Jesus knows this. Knows this about God. And loves this about God. And wants others to know this about God. Jesus tends the light shining on the lampstands. The high priest keeps the light shining forth on the lampstands as he keeps us in the love of God by his word and by the work of his spirit, as he keeps his own true light shining in us and through us, as he keeps our eyes on him and makes his own life with God to be our life with God. So for our part, it means letting the high priest tend us as he would tend us. It means bathing in his light and receiving the revelation of God in him. And it means reflecting the truth of his grace in our words and in our lives. For us as sinners, this means submitting to the truth that Jesus reveals, the light of the truth that Jesus makes known to us, which means confessing our sins. We've got sins to confess. That's a reality that's exposed by the light. So confessing our need for his mercy, and also professing, believing and professing and proclaiming that he has indeed been merciful to us, and praise him for his mercy. To shine the light of the gospel before others means making known to them what it's like for sinners to relate to God through faith in Jesus, what it's like to be convicted by the good work, the gracious work of the Holy Spirit, convicting us of our sins, what it's like to turn from death to life with God through repentance, what it's like to have his life come alive in us as sinners, his life come alive in us through his Spirit, through faith. To shine the light of the gospel before others means telling others the glorious goodness of God's grace. Grace to people like us, that the life of Jesus is given for us, for people like us. That Jesus belongs to us in all his life, all his death, his resurrection, his glory, everything. Jesus belongs to us. He has freely given himself to us. And that in Jesus, God himself belongs to us, and eternal life belongs to us as a free gift that none of us could ever possibly deserve. That's the gospel we proclaim. And apart from this good news that's revealed in the scriptures, we'd all be in the dark about God. But the true light has come into the world, shining in the darkness. And one day, there will be only the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in his presence, in his immediate presence. Revelation 22, we will see his face, and night will be no more. We will need no light of lamp or even sun, for the Lord God himself will be our light. When do you need light? When it's dark. Anytime there's not light. There will come a day when God himself will be our perpetual light, and we will walk in pure light in the full revelation of the God of love, and his life will define our life. And we'll love with his very love, and we'll shine with his very glory, pure. God has made this known. This is the light of his revelation to us in his Son. So let that be your comfort and joy in this world that still has so much darkness in it. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. Amen. Let's pray. Father of lights, you've given us the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of your grace, we know your word. We know your word incarnate, your word in the flesh, your revelation of yourself as a human being. And therefore, we truly know you by your grace through the incarnation. We long for the day when we see the light of Christ face to face, when we see your light and all reality is illuminated for us by our knowing you in him purely and perfectly. Help us to walk in the light as what you call us, children of the light. Help us to live not in ignorance, but knowing you as you truly are. And help us to make you known by our praise, our testimony, our repentance, our faith, and our love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.